Hello, and welcome to All Nations Church Oldham podcast. You're about to hear God's word to you, regardless of if you're listening in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening. So whether you're driving, working, exercising, or simply sitting down, take a moment and prepare your heart to receive what God has to say to you today.
So good to be together, and today I want to highlight intercession because, like I said, the prophetic word that came to us in recent times was that through thanksgiving and intercession, or adoration and intercession. Intercession is literally just praying on behalf of others. Amen. And it's a slight caricature of what intercessors look like in the church. It's not the weird old ladies. You know what I mean? When people say, I'm an intercessor, just expect this weird old lady who are like, oh, always, like they're always praying. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are intercessors. Amen. According to Romans 8, Jesus is interceding on our behalf, and the Holy Spirit also is interceding on our behalf. So intercession is actually a ministry that's found within the Godhead itself. And we're invited into this. Amen. And I want to preface what I'm going to say by a slight discussion of the sovereignty of God. See, I was raised up in a Baptist church where I was taught God was sovereign and God was doing whatever he wanted to do whenever he did. And whenever he did, whatever he did, at whatever time he did and however he did it, he was right. Amen. That's basically the sovereignty of God. God does what he does, and whatever he does, it's right whenever he does it and however he does it. There's no mortal that can ask God, what are you doing? There's no pot of clay that can say to its maker, what are you making? Romans, find that. Amen. So God is sovereign. God is sovereign. It means exactly that. He's free to do what he needs to do. We didn't vote him in. We can never vote him out. And no matter how we lift our small fists up to heaven and say, no, his will be done. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He is a king. He's not negotiating his will with us. He's sovereign. And it's that backdrop that I want to discuss. A good friend of mine, Noah, in the Bible. Would you like to turn to Genesis chapter, I don't know. It's a lot of verses, chapters of Noah there. But, maybe chapter 6. Start from chapter 6. I have started going through the Bible again this year from Genesis. Come on. Don't just applaud it. You know, thank God that I'm reading the Bible. I have started from Genesis. I did start at the beginning of the year. I've come to the end. I've started again. And I've been enjoying listening and reading the scriptures. And some of what I'm going to share today came out of that experience. Are you in Genesis chapter 6? Look at verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for all the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits high, Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters to the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Amen. And we haven't been long in the book of Genesis. We start with Genesis chapter 1, God creating the heavens and the earth, and then he formed the male and female, and he gave them dominion. And then chapter 3, we get to this problematic start where Adam and Eve eat of the fruit that they were not supposed to eat of. So, and then we have the Cain and Abel. So, and then we have the Cain and Abel, whoever those are, looked at the daughters of men or humans and thought they were very beautiful and said to marry them. And all of this stuff that's happening is against what God wants things to be like. And so he says what he does, what he says to Noah. He says, listen, the whole earth has gone corrupt. Things have gone really nasty and bad. I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to wipe the whole world out of, yeah? Every living creature is going to die. Yes? And I think another passage of scripture said, Noah found favor in the eyes of God. So God said to Noah, You build an ark to save yourself and your family. Amen. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, we have a commentary on this in verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Amen. So we see that Noah was he didn't just find favor with God. He was righteous before God. He conducted himself rightly. I think one of the verses in Genesis says he walked with God, just like Enoch walked with God and was not found. Noah also walked with God. Amen. So he was a righteous man. And what we hear in verse 7 of Hebrews is that Hebrews 11 is that he built an ark and he saved his family and by faith condemned the world. He built an ark, he saved his family and by faith condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is giving faith. That's commendable. In a world that's gone corrupt and wicked and every evil imagination of the heart, the Bible says, was wrong, was wicked, was sinful. But Noah found favor with God. He obeyed God, built an ark, saved his family. And then the word condemned in there is actually means condemned. Or he made a negative judgment on the world. He made a statement, both by his life and building an ark, that the world was living wrongly. You with me? And he saved himself. But as I was reading this, as I was reading the book of Genesis, I soon found myself in, which book are you in, Genesis or Hebrews? I soon found myself in Genesis 18. And so my thought that I want to share with you is the importance, I believe, in God of intercession. How much difference your voice makes to a sovereign God. You with me? How much your difference, your small voice can make to a sovereign God. That's really what I want to say to you today. And then I want us to pray on behalf of our town. Amen. I mean us here this morning. I want us to pray on behalf of our town, on behalf of our nation, and on behalf of our world. Because don't think for one moment that your voice is insignificant. Okay? So look at Genesis 18, verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked up towards Sodom, and Abram walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Verse 22. Then the men turned away and went towards Sodom, and Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up and again, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people? See, it doesn't say that for the lack of 15 people. It doesn't compound it. It just goes for the 5 less. If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again, he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 people can be found there? He answered, I will not do it, even if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of the 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? And he answered, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and returned home. And we know the story that Sodom is destroyed because there are not 10 people there. Amen? Who are righteous. Imagine if Abraham had gone a step further and said, what if there are 3? Amen. But you see the outplay of the sovereignty of God and the small voice of a man who calls himself dust and ash. I know I'm nothing, but what if? I know I'm nothing, but just think about it, Lord. Well, would you really destroy everybody? And God doesn't say, I'm going to save the 50 or the 40. Amen. He says, I'm going to spare the town. The whole thing gets spared. You still with me? Do you still have Noah's story in your background? Go to Exodus. I hope it's 32. Lord, please let it be 32. Oh, man, it's not. Yes, it is 32. Thank God. Hallelujah. Verse 9. God speaking. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. They are a stiff-necked people. You know, sometimes when God was speaking to Moses, he would say, your people. He told Moses, your people. And Moses would say, no. Let's not get this confused. They are your people. You know, when God is really frustrated with them. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. Then I'll make you into a great nation. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. Amen. He sought what? The favor of the Lord, his God. This is what he says. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people with whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I'll make you your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I'll give your descendants all this land I promised, and it will be their inheritance forever. Verse 14, then the Lord repented or relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Really? So God has decided, can you imagine, Johnny? God comes to you and says, listen, I'm going to wipe everybody off and I'm going to make a nation out of you. This is cool. I mean, that would be mean. Everybody comes out of my... But Moses said, no, how can you do that? Lord, you're forgetting some facts here. I know you don't forget, but I think you're forgetting some facts. You can't do that because you're the one who brought these people out of Egypt. And because you are God, everybody will think you must have known when you took them out of Egypt that you're going to kill them in the mountain. Now, you don't want that on your name, do you? And God says, you're right. Even though God is sovereign, amen, and even though God has made a judgment and a decision that this is what he's going to do, when he hears a weak human voice that says, can we talk about this? I'm defining intercession for you. Can we talk about this, Lord? God says, I'll take your advice. I'll take your advice. And I just, when I was reading this, I my mind went back to Noah, and I wondered, what happened, Noah? What happened? You are a righteous man, all right, no problem. You did everything God commanded you, no problem. You built the ark, you brought in your family, you brought in the animals, but somehow there was never a voice recorded anywhere, as far as, if you can find, I'm happy to learn, that Noah said, hang on, Lord, how could you do that? You with me? Never raise the voice. Hang on, Lord, can you destroy all of the earth? You created this for your glory. How can you do that? He never raised that voice. He obeyed. It's possible to save yourself. It's possible to save your family. You with me? In my reading, it's also possible to do that and fail to extend the kingdom as it's supposed to. You with me? I'm using Noah as an example of an instance where intercession didn't happen. When we look at our world today, I hear so many Christians complaining about how bad things are, how bad the economy is, how bad the leadership around is, how bad homosexuality is, how bad the stealing is, how bad the corruption is. And yeah, we can join in and condemn that. But I believe the calling of God on our lives is this. I'm looking for a man or a woman who's going to build a wall and stand in the gap and say something different. Say something different over Oldham. You know, the BBC have been here. They took pictures of us drinking in the streets there. I don't mean us as a church, but us as a town, drinking in the streets. And they went back and said, this is how Oldham is. People are drunk there. They just drink. There was a report that said the street we're in, Edgerton Street, back in the day, was the poorest city in England. I think it's changed now because there are two buildings where we used to be. You know, this massive building there. And then there's some houses across there. All those things came after we've been there. Amen. But there's a report that has gone out about who we are. Racial tensions and all these things and no-go area for Christians. That's what we're told when we're planting the church in 2008. No-go area for Christians in Oldham. Can you believe that? So we live here. This is where we live. And it's now required of us as a church. The prophetic word has come to us through thanksgiving and intercession to change the situation. And please, 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 don't discount your voice. You are not nothing before God. You have tremendous influence in the kingdom of God. That if you say, Lord, save our town, God will move because of what you said. God, save our nation, God will move because of what you said. God save the earth. Let many people come into the kingdom. God will move in the earth because of what you say. Listen, in one sense, this salvation thing that you've come into is not about you. No, it's not. I know you my Nigerian friends, you know, I've learned a phrase from them. I want to make heaven, you know. I just want to make heaven. Yeah, it's much bigger than that. It's not just you making heaven. It's not just your family making heaven. You with me? Are you listening to me? No, are you here, please? Yeah, yeah. It's not just your family. It's not just your little enclave of people. No, we want the whole world to turn to Jesus. The whole world to be won to Jesus. And there's history that tells us that there are towns where the police did not have any job to do because people were all doing Bible studies. Nobody was going around stealing. And so the police also began to do Bible studies. It has happened in history. And how can it be that you and I are alive today and the world slides into much and much wickedness when we have a voice before God? We have a voice. Let's see. I need to finish because we need to pray. That's what the whole purpose of this is. Let's try Romans. I have to pray that I find the verse now. I think it's Romans 10. Except sometimes when you read these different versions, you find it's not. Is this the one that talks about, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the people is that they might be saved. But does it say about his own wanting to be cursed here? You know, it talks about, I would rather be cursed than for the sake of my people. Is that the same verse? What verse is it? Sorry? Anyway, take it from me that Paul's prayer was that it was better. Sorry? 9:3, yeah, I thought so. Yes, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. Have you ever thought about that statement? I wish that I would be cut off from Christ. I wish that I would be sent to hell and punished for the sake of saving my kindredmen, my kinsmen. That's awesome. But that's the heart that God desires of us. Amen. Of saying we are not going to let this go. We are going to pray until there's a turnaround. This whole intercessory ministry is fulfilled in Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't just say, I wish that I was cursed. Amen. No, Jesus becomes the curse. For cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So he becomes the curse and brings an end to that problem that every human being had. Amen. So that we can be accepted before God. God, Jesus is the ultimate intercessor. He intercedes not just by speaking as he does now. He intercedes with his whole life. His whole life, death, resurrection, everything is an intercessory life. And we are called to a life like that. Amen. So the question I have in my mind is, hey, Noah, when I get to see him, what happened? What happened? I know you saved your family. I know you saved yourself. I know you saved some animals. But what happened? My encouragement to us this morning is we're going to get engaged with God. Amen. So that nobody is going to look back on Oldham in this time and say, All Nations Church, what happened? Amen. There must not be anybody in the future who's going to look back and say, All Nations Church, Oldham, where were you? What did you do? Amen. The prayer of a righteous man availeth. And I see loads of righteous people here. Loads of Holy Ghost anointed people here. And I know that we're going to pray and God will do something tremendous. One of the things we're praying for is for God to give us the nations as our inheritance. Amen. Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. When I say that, it can sound a bit pompous. Who do you think we are? Look at how many we are. Do you think we can go to the nations? Now, don't let that thought settle in your mind. Amen. Because God is able to do beyond what you can ask or imagine. And that's the one we're calling on.
Thank you for listening to All Nations Church Oldham podcast. I trust that this has been God's word to you today. If you would like to find out more or get in contact with us, please visit our website or find us on social media. Have a blessed day.